Okay, we are continuing our study tonight about how can we understand the Bible alike. We spent the first four classes of the quarter trying to take a step back and say before we can even talk about understanding the Bible alike, we've got to talk about how do we even think about the Bible? How do we approach it? When you look at the Bible, is it the Word of God or not? And I hope the last 4 weeks have been helpful for us in trying to help us to see that it's not that we can waver. It's not that we can be, well, maybe it is or maybe it isn't. We need to make up our minds. Is the Bible the Word of God? And not just that, is every word in the Bible given to us by God? And if it's not, then we've got problems. And I don't want to rehash all the things we've talked about for the last 4 weeks, but that's our foundation for everything, but our foundation for this quarter. How can we understand the Bible alike? First thing we've got to do is to affirm that the Bible is the Word of God. What I want us to do tonight is to take another step forward and say, okay, the Bible is the Word of God. Every word in the Bible is from God. How can we understand the Bible alike? We need to acknowledge the fact that it can be understood alike. The focus of this quarter is going to be on this word, how. It's not on the question, can we understand it alike? The question is going to be, how can we understand it alike? Well, first thing we got to do is establish that we can understand the Bible alike. And I want to approach that in two forms tonight. First of all, we spent these first few weeks talking about the age of skepticism in which we live, and we looked at a lot of quotes, a lot of discouraging quotes, looked at a one-minute clip of Dan Barker last week, and that just makes me sick to think about what that man is doing with his life to try to destroy faith. But if we don't nail down our peg that says the Bible is the Word of God, then we're gonna drift anywhere we want. If we don't nail our anchor on the Word of God, then we're gonna drift anywhere. Amen. And that's where Dan Barker is gone. He's gone anywhere, and he's making a good penny and going anywhere with all the books that he's selling. But that's neither here nor there. And I'll get off that soapbox. So we live in an age of skepticism and religious division. Where does it come from? And I think we could probably give 50 different answers to this, but the thing I want us to think about is that we're living in this kind of a world, in this kind of an age, because people are not studying the Bible. Why is it that Dan Barker would rattle off, was it 17, 18, 20, whatever it was, alleged discrepancies at the beginning of that debate? Is he studying the Bible? Has he tried studying the answers to those questions? Why is it that people don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Why is it that people make all sorts of excuses about obeying what the Bible says? Why is it that people don't believe in God? Why is it that people don't... And you go down the list, and one of the fundamental reasons is that people are not studying the Bible. Why is our nation in the condition that it's in today? Why has our nation drifted drastically in the last half century? Why is it that now we are approaching a condition where, guess what, it's Newsweek magazine again. We've spent seven weeks talking about Newsweek last year. Newsweek magazine again, cover story, The Rise and Fall of the Christian Nation. Is that the name of the cover? It's something like that. The Rise and Fall of America as a Christian Nation. Basically saying that America is no longer a Christian nation. That we've drifted away from that and we're no longer, you know, founded upon... We're no longer basing our nation on Christian principles, and obviously we're using that word in a very broad sense. Babo? That's true. Our own president said that in the last few days. So here we are in a nation that once was proud, again using the word Christian in a very broad sense, not in a biblical sense, but in a broad sense, proud to claim to be founded upon biblical principles. Where are we now? We have homosexuality being accepted. Not just accepted, we have it being pushed. We have marriage and the condition of our marriages today, where we have disposable marriages, and if you don't like the one you have, return it and get another one. That's where we are today. We live in a land where our young people are being bombarded on a not just a daily basis, but an hourly basis with immorality. Why has our nation drifted in the last half century? I think it's because people are not studying the Bible like they were 50 years ago. And I think that's true for us in the church. That even in the church, we are not studying the Bible like we did 50 years ago. How is it that people knew the Bible as well as they did 50 years ago? Was it because they were smarter? Is it because they had a bigger memory chip than you do? Why is it? They only knew the Bible because they studied the Bible. So we're living in a world today because people are not studying the Bible. Why are they not studying the Bible? What excuses have you heard? Excuses probably too strong. What reasons have you heard people give to say they, or maybe reasons you would make up to say, why are people not studying the Bible today? I don't have time. I'm too busy. Can't be understood. Jerry, that was my last one, so can't be understood. That's where we're going. Can you think of three other reasons people might say they're not studying the Bible anymore?
I don't think people have to give a reason anymore.
No, they don't have to give a reason anymore. They look at the Bible, and some people just, they don't care. They have no interest. They're not concerned. They could care less about studying the Bible. They look at the Bible, and perhaps they realize that the Bible is Bible's on a different page than they are. They won't say that they're on a different page than the Bible, but they might say the Bible's just on a different page than they are. And they know that, you know, they're going to read in the Bible some things that kind of condemn where they're living, and they don't want to read about, you know, God or people or a book that says what they're doing is not right. And so there's all sorts of reasons that people give for not studying the Bible. The one we're going to talk about, obviously, is the topic and the title of this lesson. Are there people who don't study the Bible because they say it just can't be understood? Are there people in that world? Trudy, were you going to say something?
I was going to say
pride. Pride? People don't study the Bible. They're too good for it. They find more important things than studying the Bible. Is it possible that the Bible can be understood? Why do you say that? We can understand the Bible because the Bible says we can understand it. Why else would you say, if you say yes, can the Bible be understood? Okay, Darren talks about the fact that Jesus used a child as an example, and says that you know, if a child can understand it, can children understand the Bible? Have you ever sat in one of these classes down here? Can they understand it? Who had Jerry? Yeah. Does God know enough to give us a book we can understand? Does He care enough to give us a book we can understand? Those are the two key questions here. Except when some people think about the question, can the Bible be understood? They're just going to say, no, it can't. And unfortunately, for a number of centuries, we have lived in a world where there has been a very strong stance that has said Scriptures cannot be understood by the common man. So if the common man wants to know the Scriptures and understand the Scriptures, he needs help. He needs to go to the church to get an interpretation, to get an understanding of what the Scriptures say. It wasn't that long ago, although it is, but it wasn't that long ago that Bibles were... where were the Bibles? Where were the Bibles kept?
Chained.
Chained where?
To the pulpit.
Chained to the pulpit.
Also written in Latin.
Chained to a pulpit. Now, why would you do that? I mean, if you lived in a high crime, you know, neighborhood, you'd probably chain a lot of stuff to the pulpit, and then you'd, somehow fasten the pulpit to the ground. Why do you chain the Bible to the pulpit? Why was it chained to the pulpit? Control, somebody said. What'd you say, Lonnie?
The common man could not have access.
Common man could not have access. Keep it in a language the common man did not understand. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with the mindset that says the common man cannot understand the Bible? He needs help. He needs the clergy. He needs the learned people to explain it to him. Yeah, God says that he doesn't wish for any man to perish. So he better get to the parish if he doesn't want to perish, so that he can be told how not to perish, right? Sure it is. Well, Satan was riding this wave. You know, if people can be convinced you can't understand the Bible, his job's done. He doesn't have to worry about it anymore. But Betty, were you going to say something?
Said it was written
first. That's right. Romans 15:4 says it's for our learning, but we really can't learn it. We've got to be taught. I didn't do this study, and maybe one of you can verify it for me. Let me know the day you do. Somebody has looked at it and said that the average word in the Bible is only 5 letters long. Okay, that's your assignment the rest of this week, is to go home and verify that for me, because I didn't study it on my own. So once you get your study done, you let me know, you know, if it's 5 letters. If the average word in the Bible is 5 letters long, what does that mean? They're not very long words. Can the Bible be understood? I think it's a tremendous disservice to mankind to be told common man cannot understand the Bible. And how many people have been left in that situation almost feeling helpless because that's what they were told? What do you do in a situation like that? Other people say no, because some have gone to the Bible and they find some part of the Bible that seems hard for them to understand. So they say, well, here's one part of the Bible that's hard to understand. The whole thing must be hard to understand. So they throw the whole thing out. Are there some parts of the Bible that are hard to understand?
Yes.
Is there a verse that says that? Yes. Even Peter said about Paul's writings, but I've underlined 2 words for you here. Even Peter said about Paul's writings that some things, tell me another word he could have used instead of some. He could have said, but he didn't say many things. He could have said none of the things.
A few
of the things. All of the things that Paul writes, but he didn't. He just said some of the things. So if some of the things are hard to understand, what does that mean that some of the other things are? Not hard to understand. And did he use the word impossible to understand? That you'll never get them, give up trying. No. Are there some passages that you understand today that you thought were harder to understand 10 years ago?
Yes, sir.
15 years ago? 20 years ago? I won't keep going. Are there passages that today you look at and you say, I know what that's talking about, where before you thought, I'm never going to get it? How'd you figure it out? How did it go from hard to understandable?
Studying.
Isn't it amazing? These some people that they find something hard in the Bible, oh, I can't understand that, so I can't understand any of it. Wonder what would happen if they read from cover to cover. And then when they got done, if they went back again and read cover to cover. And then when they got done, went back again. Do you figure things out every time you read through the Bible? Are there things clicking? Are there points connecting? Every time you read, you see an Old Testament passage and you say, whoa, that was over there in the book of Revelation. I never saw it before. You ever read in the New Testament? And there's some terminology, some language, some activity. Oh, wait a minute. I never noticed that. Are there some things that may continue to be hard for us to grasp? Sure. But what do? We keep studying, and those things that are hard become more understandable. Why are people confused? Why do we live in a world that's full of division, full of skepticism? Because people are not studying the Bible. Why? And I'm coming, I think 2 people had their hands up. 3 people had their hands. Anybody else? Yes, she's one. Thank you, Stephen. She's one of them. Got my hall monitor over here. And I forgot where I was going. Tracy, go ahead. Yeah. We don't do this in any other part of our lives for the most part. I mean, anybody in here ever go to college? Or did you, I mean, did anybody skip like kindergarten, first grade, second grade, and just jump right into college? Anybody try that? You know, it's all progressive. Kelly's in first grade, you know, and there's some things that over this first grade year that she's hated. Well, I hate this, you know, because she's not getting it right away. And anything that she doesn't get like that, she hates it. All right. She's one of those kids that if I don't understand it right now, now it's boring. The things that she hated before because she didn't get them right are now boring because why can't the other kids get this? This is so easy. Why? Because the more you learn, the more things come into focus and into perspective. And do we give up on 2 plus 2 because they can't learn it? 2 times 2? 2 divided by 2 because they can't learn it? We just keep teaching. Can you? Those of you who teach little kids, you know, you're... And big kids, yes, Stephen, and really big kids. You've got a particular talent and ability to deal with them, because what is the key to all learning? Repetition, repetition, repetition. And when you're in kindergarten, first, second grade, and it's repetition, repetition, repetition with them, I'd go bonkers. All right, that's where Darren, go ahead, and then Joe, and then Richard. Yep, that's exactly what the Bible teaches. Darren says that, you know, some of those hard things, spiritually speaking, are the people aren't ready for those things, and that's why God talks about the milk and the meat. You know, yeah, if you start jumping right into the meat, there's going to be some things hard. So it's the same kindergarten, first, second grade. You've got to progress through school. You progress through the Bible and studying it, and you grab the milk, and then you get ready for the meat, Joe. We don't do 2 Timothy 2:15 anymore as far as personal practice or 2 Timothy 2:15. Old King James says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. How can I not be ashamed? How can I be approved unto God? I need to rightly divide the word of truth. I need to handle aright the word of truth. And of course, New King James and some of the newer translations have not used the word study, but have translated it, be diligent. Well, how can I be diligent to present myself approved unto God if I don't know His word? If my children don't know what I want them to do, how can they be approved by me? How can they find acceptance in my eyes? But if they know what I want them to do and then do it, but how do they learn what I want them to do? They've got to listen. I'm coming to you, Marion, because I got Richard, and then I got Marion, and then I got Dirk. I'm keeping up with them, Stephen. I'm doing it. All right. It's a great point. Richard didn't hear a word. Well, let me repeat every word that he said. Pardon? Yeah, right. I heard you, Chuck. All right. Richard says, oftentimes, even for us, and I don't think this is pointing fingers necessarily out in the world, this is even for us. To say that something is too hard for us to understand when we come to the Bible is a cop-out for saying, I don't want to understand it. Well, that's just too hard. I'll never get that. And so it's not only a sign of our laziness, but it may be a sign of our dedication or lack thereof. I don't care to figure it out. I don't care to understand it. How did you figure out some of the things you know now that you didn't know 20 years ago? Is it because there was a Bible class, because there was a sermon that you figured it all out? Guess what? If you go to every Bible class that this church offers, and if you listen to every sermon that this church has to offer, you'll never learn all of the Bible. Now, what am I doing? Am I trying to tell you not to go to Bible class and not to listen to every sermon? If you expect to get your fill of the Bible so that you understand everything the Bible has in it, limited to the 3 or 4 hours that you're in this building every week, it's not going to happen. That is not studying and being diligent to show yourself approved unto God. If we want to understand the Bible, we've got to get into it. We've got to study it. We've got a, and I don't know how many of you even know that we've got a church library all the way down the end of this hallway in the back room. There's a church library. And you're welcome to borrow those books. Just sign them out. There's a couple preachers around here that have a few books in their libraries, and you're welcome to borrow them and bring them back. But we need to study. I don't remember. Stephen, who was next? Marion and then Dirk. Go ahead, Marion. I think I only heard him say that six times, so I didn't remember that. But Bill Hatcher used to say that you had to hear something seven times in order to grab it, in order for it to really be yours. And that's the truth. Dirk? Yeah, Dirk talks about all the distractions that we have around us, but points out that the comment Darren made about milk and meat is found at least one place in Hebrews chapter 5, the end of 5 and the beginning of 6. And in chapter 5 and verse 11 is one of the places, one of the exhortations that the Hebrew writer gives. And this one is where he talks about the fact that they're dull of hearing. And I think we've talked about that in here before. Literally, the idea was that they had stuck their fingers in their ears. You've never done that, I'm sure, when somebody's talking to you. And you never did that as a kid to your parents. For sure, your kids might do it, but you wouldn't do it to your parents because you wouldn't be here today if you had done that to your parents. But that's sticking your fingers in your head. No, I can't hear what you're saying. And Hebrew writer saying, that's where you are with God. You're dull of hearing. You've stuck your fingers in your ears. No, I can't hear what you're saying. And you think it's okay. I didn't know God said that. I didn't know that was in the Bible. Is ignorance going to be a good comeback on the day of judgment? Oh, that was there. I didn't even know it. Oh, well, no harm, no foul, right? I didn't know it. Trudy. Boy, that puts you in a tough position, doesn't it? When the church is telling you, when the pulpit's chained to the Bible and the other way around, when the Bible's chained to the pulpit and you're relying on somebody else to tell you what the Bible says, guess what you have to trust? That person is telling you what the Bible says. Who's your faith in? The Bible? Or in a person telling you what the Bible says? That could be a little dangerous, couldn't it? If your faith is in the person who's telling you what the Bible says. Darren? Yeah. That's true that there are some situations in life. We might be drifting along in the milk of the Word, but there's some situations that arise in our life that drive us to the meat and force us to study. And to me, whatever gets us in the Word is probably a good thing, but I don't think we need to wait for tragedy in our lives for that to happen. I mean, we need to get in and study. Ray, you were going to say something. That's a good idea, Ray. Ray said he was listening to a sermon on a CD the other day, and the preacher encouraged the listeners to listen to it seven times so they would get it. So if you all would go online and listen to all the sermons and the Bible classes that are on our website seven times, you would be fast asleep. All right, look in Ephesians 3. But that's the way that, if we're serious about Bible study, then we need to be serious about it. Look in Ephesians 3, and guess what? We're going to be talking about this topic for the next couple weeks. While man says that the Bible cannot be understood, God says just the opposite. And here's what we're doing. I'm not talking about, and we haven't been talking about yet, the fact, can the Bible be understood alike? I'm not even touching the word alike yet. We're on the first question, first part of the question, can the Bible be understood? And there's people who say it can't. There's been denominations who have taught that it cannot be. There are people who make excuses. Well, I can't understand, it's too hard, whatever. But God says that His Word can be understood. And He says His Word can be understood by everybody, not just a select few of learned men or this or that. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm going to have it on the screen in a minute, but I want you to see something before we do that. Ephesians 3 and verse 3. We'll pick up in the middle of this sentence, which you kind of have to do with Paul because his sentences are pretty long. Ephesians 3:3. How that by revelation, what is revelation? Don't tell me a book in the Bible. A revealing. How that by a revealing, a revelation, literally an unveiling, He made known to me the mystery. By revealing and unveiling something, God made known unto Paul the mystery. What was the mystery?
Of the
Mystery of the faith. What's that?
So Jews and Gentiles would share salvation.
Okay. That's part of the mystery. That Jews and Gentiles would share in salvation. He had talked about that. If you go back, this is the beginning of chapter 3. If you go back to the end of chapter 2, it talks about beginning in verse 11 and through the end of the chapter, about that thing that taking place, the middle wall of separation being torn down. How did God let Paul in on this mystery? How did he let Paul know about this mystery? If it was a mystery, how was it no longer a mystery? It had been revealed. It's right there in the verse. It had been revealed to him. Now, go back to the last 4 weeks of study we've had. How was this revealed to Paul? If there was a mystery, and now Paul understood it, and it had been revealed to Paul, how was it revealed to him? How did he come to know something that used to be a mystery? And the answer is so obvious, you're not even thinking it. How did he figure out what that mystery was? How did God reveal it? Did God just paint a rainbow in the sky and he thought, oh, Jews and Gentiles, I never would have thought it. Is that how it happened? Did God just, you know, put some hieroglyphics up in the sky and Paul looked up, whoo? Or did he talk to him in words? Well, look at what the verse says. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery as I... What does the word as mean? What is the word as? In English grammar, what is the word as? Like or as? What is that?
A simile.
Good. What's a simile? Don't tell me like or as. What's a simile? A figure of speech that indicates what? Something that is similar, a comparison. So God has revealed to me the mystery, parentheses, as I have what? The end of verse 3, briefly written already. What had Paul, can't believe that's 5 minutes to the end of class, what had Paul written? Words. If Paul had written words, what was revealed to Paul? How was this mystery revealed to him? In words. The words that revealed this mystery to Paul, as similar, same thing, I'm writing, I've briefly written to you already. By which, I wanted to talk about that before we got to the rest of this verse. By which, when who reads? When you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. Was he writing to the elders at Ephesus? Trick question. Yes? Was he writing only to the elders at Ephesus? No. He's writing to the whole church. And what's interesting is that there are many who believe that the book of Ephesians was to be a circular letter, meaning it was, and most of them were, you read the end of Colossians and it was, they were read at Ephesians and then it was passed to another city, another church, and it was read there. Passed to another city, another congregation there, read there. Well, if these things are read in the congregation, who can understand them? Everybody. These things are written so that when you do what? When you read them, average member of the church at Ephesus, I'm writing these things so that when you do what? Read it. What will you do? You will understand. You'll understand what? You know, we look at what Paul had revealed to him about the mystery of God, and it wasn't just for Paul. It wasn't supposed to be kept by Paul. Paul says, guess what? It was revealed to me. I didn't keep it. I've written it in these words so that when you read these words, guess what you will know? You'll understand the same thing I understand when you read the words that I've written. Is the Bible therefore understandable? Would the book of Ephesians be understandable? Yes, it would have to be. Paul's not going to write a letter and say, well, when you read this, you'll understand if it wasn't understandable. If that applies to one book in the Bible, would that apply to every book in the Bible? I've written these things, and when you read them, you will be able to understand them. We're not going to have time. The bell's going to get us, but we're going to come back. We're going to answer this question even further than Ephesians 3. Can we understand the Bible? What does the Old Testament say? Is there any indication in the Old Testament?
It
That say again?
It's a schoolmaster.
Okay. That Old Testament was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. It was our tutor. Could the Old Testament be understood? Is there anything in the Old Testament that says this can be understood by the average person? Anything there? What did Jesus teach? Did Jesus teach anything that the common man could understand? What did Paul teach? What does the New Testament teach? Is it possible that the average person can understand it? Now, when you get to the end of that answer, when you get to the end of this answer at the top of the screen, can it be understood? If the answer is yes, and we're not going to answer this right now. I want you to think about this for the rest of the week. If the answer to this question on the screen, can the Bible be understood? If that is yes, is there any way in the world that when we add the word alike, can the Bible be understood alike? Is there any way in the world that we can answer that? No. Can you answer the first question? Yes. Yeah, it can be understood. And then turn right around and say, can it be understood alike? No, not really. Can you say no to the second question if you've answered the first question yes? You can't do it. It is impossible to do it. And if you don't know why, come back next week. We'll talk about it. All right, that's all time we got. Hey, we're finishing a minute early tonight, so I gave you a minute back. Don't expect that anymore.